Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Every week at this time, Canada Dry sets up a board of four experts for you to throw questions at. Here's how it's done. You may submit from one to three original questions per letter with the correct answers. If your question is used, you receive $5 and $10 additional if it stumps the board. So you may win $15 in all. Don't worry if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. All questions become the property of Information Please. Letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now may I present our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I must announce, first of all, that last week we done you wrong. You remember there was a question. Can you name the presidents of the colleges at which each of the following is the football coach? We must that. Information Please announced that Ray Lyman Wilbur was president of the University of California. The answer should have been Robert Gordon Sproul, as the entire population of California notified of this almost immediately. Now, the reason that we gave this answer is extremely simple. We were wrong, that's all, just wrong. Now, suppose we start in by telling you, as we do, that Information Please is a completely unrehearsed program, as you know. It's conducted not like a classroom, but like a game. Canada Dry's experts this evening consist in the first place of those two veterans, Franklin C. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, and John Curran, who knows all, sees all, and tells all. I might note in passing that Mr. Adams and Mr. Curran have now been answering questions week after week, week after week, and we still have not exhausted their information, or presumably them. Our third authority this evening is also a veteran, Oscar Levant, musician, composer, and musical director of the current New York stage hit, The American Way. Our fourth guest of honor has been with us before, and we're glad to welcome him again, the famous foreign correspondent, author of Inside Europe, and of the forthcoming Inside Asia, Mr. John Gunther. Now, boys, let's get to work. Remember that if any question is missed, Counter Dry cheerfully rings up $10. And out it goes to the successful questioner. Let's go. Catherine Douglas of Jacksonville, Florida, is anxious to test your knowledge of bromides, cliches, stock phrases, and so forth. She wants you to give five conventional or usual answers to the question, how did you know? Mr. Church.
A little bird told me.
Yes, a little bird told me. Although I think usually she heard it from somebody else under the dryer. Mr. Levant.
I read it in Winchell's column.
Yes, that's right for you, Mr. Levant. That's correct.
Is that a cliche?
Pretty near by this time. That gives us two. Three more. Mr. Adams.
I know as much as you do anyway.
I know as much as you do anyway. It's a little belligerent, but I let it go.
All right. I'm belligerent.
You feel bellicose this evening, Mr. Adams? Fight me, kid. Fight me. All right, Mr. Levant.
I got a women's intuition.
That's right. That's four. And one more. One more. Mr. Kieran.
I knew it all along.
All right, that's fine. Very easy, I think. We could have gone on and added a few more. It came to me in a flash. I'm psychic, is what people say. I hope that those bromides satisfy Miss Douglas down in Jacksonville. We'll go on to the question that Laura Hulse of Needham, Massachusetts, sends into us. This deals with fathers and daughters. And I have to get 4 out of 5. What famous daughter must have been a headache to Papa? It's a trick question, gentlemen. What famous daughter must have been a headache to Papa? Mr. Curran.
Minerva.
Minerva. Who was Minerva?
She sprang full grown from the brain of Jove.
Yes, the brainchild of Jove. That's quite right. And give us their Greek names so that the other half of the audience will be familiarized with the...
Zeus was Jove's name in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And Minerva's name was...
Mr. Gunther?
Pallas Athena.
Yes, Athena. Athena, who sprang full-armed from the forehead of Zeus. Very nice work. The next question is, who discovered that being the father of three daughters does not necessarily mean a happy home for Daddy? Mr. Adams.
King Lear.
King Lear, yes. And what, this is off the record, Mr. Adams, but can you give us the names of the three daughters just for fun? Let's give them a break.
Goneril.
Goneril. Miss Kieran?
Cordelia.
Cordelia and
Regan.
Regan, yes. Very good. What daughter got a haircut to help Papa? What daughter got a haircut to help Papa? I think we may stop them on this one. Sorry. It was Joe in Little Women who sold her hair, I think, to raise money for the family when it needed. That's one wrong out of three. The next one is a tough one. Listen carefully. What daughter was to be sacrificed by her father to raise the wind? Miss Sharon knows it immediately.
I think so. Iphigenia.
Iphigenia. Who was Iphigenia?
Wallace. She was one of. She was the daughter of Agamemnon.
Agamemnon.
And they needed a little wind to blow the ships over to go ahead in the Battle of Troy.
Yeah.
And so he was going to sacrifice her.
Well, he was told by one of the goddesses that he would have to sacrifice her if, in order to get a wind to move them out of the calm. That's correct. At five and last, what daughter took in washing because her old man wouldn't work? What daughter took in washing because her old man wouldn't work?
Mary Pickford.
Thanks, Mr. McMahon. Doubt it. I'm testing your knowledge of mythology. Mr. Adams. You're doing
daughter
all
right. Mother takes in washing.
Go ahead. Mother takes in washing.
Mother takes in washing.
Yeah.
So does Sister Anne.
Good. Go ahead with it.
Everybody works in our house, but my old man.
Nice work.
That's right.
The third question from Mr. E. Alexander of Chicago is a question involving your knowledge of sports, and it's very trickily presented. Name the sport title holders who would be dethroned by the following figures, and tell why. Who would be dethroned by the following figures. You have to get four out of five. The first is 9 seconds. Mr. Grumper.
A 100-yard dash, I should think.
100-yard dash is absolutely correct. Do you, can you explain the reasons for that?
I should think that Mr. Karen could explain it better. Isn't
no,
the record somewhere over 9 1/4?
Why, I'll explain it. All right, Mr. LeMann.
You correct me, though, Mr. Karen.
Who's the present holder?
Jesse Owens, I think.
Jesse Owens, and I think it's also held at the same time by Frank Weicker. You know what the record is?
9, and it's a little more than 9, or else you wouldn't ask the question.
You're right.
Nine, nine and three. 4/10.
That's very good. Very good. 9.4. 1 minute, 30 seconds. 1 minute, 30 seconds. What sport title holder would be dethroned by that figure? And tell why. Minute and a half. It's a tricky way of testing your knowledge of sports. I'm glad I'm on this side of the fence. Mr. Adams.
Trotting horse.
Trotting horse, yes, but what distance? What distance? Pick a distance.
Mile.
Good. Correct.
Oh.
I got that to him by telepathy, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, horse race mile. The record is 1:34.
No.
Would that be wrong?
Oh, sure. That's a running horse. That's
Did he say
running
horse?
No, he said trotting horse.
Oh,
1:55 is trotting.
I'm sorry. One get this down. Why didn't you come in on this, Mr. Jim?
I was bashful.
Well, it's the first time.
A likely story.
That's not hard to believe that either, Mr. Adams. One wrong. 27 feet. 27 feet. Mr. Kieran.
Well, that'd be a broad jump record.
Yes. Who holds it now?
Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens is correct. And
26 feet, about 8 or 9 inches.
8 1/4. You're not doing very well this evening, Mr. Kieran. 8 1/4. That's correct. 61. Mr. LeMann.
61. As Babe Ruth, 60 home runs.
That's quite right. Babe Ruth has a record of 60 home runs. In one seat. And last, 15 feet. 15 feet. 15 feet.
Can I guess?
Would you rather have Mr. Kieran take Mr. Gunther, or would you rather guess? Mr. Kieran?
I'd say pole vault.
Pole vault. Who holds the
record? That's what I was going to guess.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gunther. That was extremely undiplomatic of me. But you didn't have the look of confidence in your face that Mr. Kieran has.
The outdoor record is held by a very good-looking dark Californian.
No plugs.
No. I'm just trying to think of his name. I can see him right in front of me.
Earl Meadows and W. Sefton.
That's right.
Two fellows.
It's
both good-looking.
And what
is the record?
It's about 14 feet, 9 and a fraction inches.
11. 11. 14 feet 11.
They moved it up since I last looked.
Yes, they have. Everything. It's inflation, you know, inflation. All right. They did get 4 out of 5. Very difficult question, I think, and they all came in on that, including Mr. Adams. We should have said, what should have you said? What did you say?
Should have said running horse.
Yes, should have said running horse. Anybody know that? The next one comes from Mr. D. Sanger of Portland, Oregon. What is the specific nationality of the following people who made the news during the current Czechoslovakian crisis? Of course, nationalities have been changing rather rapidly during the last 15 or 20 minutes. But I mean the original nationality of the following. You have to get 5 out of 5. Augustin Volosin, V-O-L-O-S-I-N. Mr. Gunther.
He was Prime Minister of Carpatho, Ukraine.
Yeah, for how long, do you think?
Well, he's fled to Bucharest, to Romania, in the last 50 days.
He was
Prime Minister, presumably, since Hitler made his first attack on Czechoslovakia last year.
Very short premiership, you'd say. That's what? Long enough. Paul Teleki, T-E-L-E-K-I. Mr. Levant.
Levant, Premier of Hungary.
I know you. How did you know that, Mr. Levant?
I read the papers. There's no mystery about Teleki. Is that
it was new to me.
I'll tell you who was even before Teleki.
Before Teleki?
Yeah, Baylor and Brady.
Oh, well, you're an expert on Hungary, Mr. Levant. You just read up everything on Hungary.
Well, you can't escape it.
No, it's very hard to. And the next one, Ferdinand Dorkonski. Ferdinand Dorkonski. The names get easier as I go along. Ferdinand Dorkonski, D-U-R-C-A-N-S-K-Y. And no discounts. Mr. Gunther?
He's one of this very new crop of foreign ministers.
Yeah, but of what? Name a country.
The first initial
I think of the new Slovak state, which existed only a few
That's
days.
Right. Say where you are. Don't say another word. That's correct. Correct. Foreign Minister of Slovakia, Ferdinand Dorkonski. Wilhelm Keitel. Wilhelm Keitel, K-E-I-T-E-L. Mr. Levant.
Well, isn't he the general of the German army? The biggest title in the army. I don't know what it is. I see a picture every day.
That's
with
right, he's chief of staff. Yes, he's right. The head of the army that marched into Czechoslovakia. And finally, very good, Mr. Levant, may I say? I admire you, Mr. Levant.
Thank you, Hank.
That's all right. The next one, Rudolf Gaider, G-A-J-D-A. Mr. Gunther.
He was the leader of the Czechoslovak Fascist Legion.
Yes, that's quite correct. And now, Mr. Gunther, off the record, what do you think will be the outcome of the present crisis? I think you ought to be authoritative, at least until the next news broadcast, anyway. If I were a 30-word prophecy as to what's going to happen as a result of this present crisis?
If I were a Pole or a Romanian or a Lithuanian, I would move.
Yes, but where would you go?
Fiji Islands is a good distance away.
Dandy. Dandy.
Mr. Hitler, I think, has made a great mistake because, after all, he's swallowed one of the most indigestible morsels that the world has ever known. That is 10 million Czechs and Slovaks.
You think you have to cough it up, possibly?
I'm not sure. The Czechs and Slovaks have been submerged before and have risen to the surface.
It's quite possible.
Also, it's very much a repudiation of everything he's done before, because heretofore he's always talked in terms of self-determination, of race, none of which holds water in the face of what is actual invasion, of plunder.
I guess.
Quite Napoleonic. Of course, you know what happened to Napoleon.
Are you asking me?
No.
He died.
No.
I'm on this side of the desk. I don't know what happened to Napoleon. I know he went to Elba.
He died of the itch.
Exactly. The old sports expert always comes to bat. Well, I gather, in general, Mr. Gunther, you think he may possibly have bitten off more than he can chew. Events will show.
It depends on how long the digestive interlude is.
Yes, that's very good. I'd like to make a note of that, Mr. Gunther. I'd like to make a note of that. All right. After that short interlude on politics, and we thank Mr. Gunther for his wisdom, we'll see what we can do with this one. Oh, this is a much lighter question. Samuel Wald sent in this question. Samuel Wald of Brooklyn, New York, and sent a little package along with it. He enclosed a couple of regulation-size harmonicas, brand new and carefully sterilized. That is, they were until I just took them up in my own hands. Now, Mr. Adams, I believe you are a master of the harmonica?
Oh, not a master.
Sort of a semi-master?
Semi-master.
A semi-master, all right. Now, I'm going to ask you to make your choice between these harmonicas and play 3 songs. Which the other experts are to recognize. That is the hard part. Now, just to limit the songs, I'm going to ask you to play songs from Stephen Foster.
Stephen Foster, one of your favorite composers, Mr. Adams.
Let him play some Bach.
That's true.
All right. Now, Mr. Levant, I want you to keep your ears open on this. We're going to need you. Mr. Adams, semi-master of the harmonica, will now play the first of three songs by Stephen Foster after choosing a harmonica. To choose your harmonica.
You're not kidding.
No, not indeed. Now, which of those harmonicas do you like?
They all look alike to me.
Well, that's a great big one that I think would fit you very well, Mr. Adams. Go ahead and see what you can do with that one.
What do you want me to play?
Three songs, or part of three songs, one by one, from the works of Stephen Foster, well-known balladist.
What do you make him nervous for?
This is Mr. Adams playing the harmonica, ladies and gentlemen. You recognize that,
yeah.
Kieran? I beg your pardon?
Gone are the days when my heart was young and
is
young.
That right, Mr. Adams?
He's wonderful.
He is. All right. Thank you, Mr. Adams. Mr. Kieran, we will now have the second rendition.
That's tough. I got it.
You got that one, Mr. Barr?
That's a symphonic version of Swanee River.
Mr. Adams' own impromptu arrangement of Swanee River by Stephen Foster. That's correct.
A bit of a swing.
Now the third and last. Give us something reasonably classical, Mr. Adams. Mr. Levant.
Oh, Susanna.
Oh, Susanna, would you recognize and admit that, Mr. Adams?
Yeah, I like to play something better.
Yeah, let him play something.
All right, I'll give you a shot. Can you play something better?
Wait till he goes on and gets some tunes, and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, maybe you can do the identification now. Very good, I think. Adams,
I won three legs on this. Do I get permanent possession?
You get permanent possession if you guarantee not to play it more than once every month at this broadcast, Mr. Adams. Well, let's see. So far, Kendra Dry announces a loss of exactly no dollars. I must say the boys are pretty bright tonight. So let's give Canada Dry a sporting chance and call upon its own expert, the autocrat of the refreshment table, Mr. Milton Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. It was another autocrat, the autocrat of the breakfast table, who was horrified when it flashed over him that he had made his fine speech, word for word, twice over. But in my brief talks about Canada Dry, I'm only too glad to repeat myself. For instance, I feel that I can never speak too often about the purity of Canada Dry. For I think everyone has a right to know that when they buy a Canada Dry beverage, they get the finest quality possible. This is true because the same high standards employed in making Canada Dry, the champagne of ginger ales, are used with all Canada Dry beverages. I make frequent mention of Canada Dry purity because I especially want to assure the mothers and fathers among you that you may safely give your children any beverage bearing the Canada Dry label. No, repetition doesn't bother me at all. Not when I'm speaking about Canada Dry purity. And here's something else I've often said before. Remember what we tell you each week on Information, Please. And always put Canada Dry on your shopping list.
Mr. Cross, we clocked you at precisely 6 seconds. And now let's go on with the second half of the program. Here's a good question from Mr. Thomas R. Randall of Montclair, New Jersey. Involving your knowledge of the past, your very precise knowledge of the past. I'm going to ask you to answer the following historical questions and get 4 out of 4. A newspaper extra was called on the streets on the evening of September 6th, 1901. What was the headline of that extra? Mr. Adams.
President shot.
Very good. Which president?
William McKinley.
William McKinley. Shot by whom?
Pole named C-Z-O-L-G-O...
You're okay.
Stop.
That's right. Just one Z. Very good. President McKinley shot. Very good. On the morning of April 18th, 1906, important news was flashed to us that stunned the whole country. What was that news?
I was born
April 18th, 1906. It was really your first statement?
No, I was born that year, though.
Around that time.
It was much later that year.
1906?
1906, Mr. Gunther. Mr. Kieran?
San Francisco earthquake.
Yes.
Or fire.
Yes, of course. Over in California, they say that they had a gentle massage and then the city was destroyed by fire. Correct. April 18th, 1906. What was the world electrifying news which greeted us on May 21st, 1927? Mr. Levant?
Lindbergh's flight.
Very good. What were the tidings, glad tidings to some, of December 5th, 1933? Mr. Levant.
That was the year after Roosevelt was in. That was Prohibition repealed.
All right. Prohibition was repealed. 4 out of 4. Very good indeed. Let's see what you can do with the next one. From Mrs. Elma A. Jones of Charleston, West Virginia. Now, what we're going to do is, with the help of our experts, make a musical tour of the United States. The piano is going to play some songs involving the names of places, and I'm going to ask you to name and locate each of the places referred to by the piano. Let's have the first. You have to get on, please. Mr. Curran?
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
Yes, and the song is called...
On the trail of the lonesome pine.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Levant. And Kieran, that's very good. That's map number 2. Miss Adams.
Michigan.
Michigan, what's the name of the song?
Back on the farm.
Down, down.
Down,
down on the farm. Very good. Number 3. Mr. Levant.
That's by the waters of Minnetonka.
Yes, where is Minnetonka?
Minnesota. Then.
Minnesota, yes.
Good
what,
guess.
What part of Minnesota?
The part where the Indians hang out.
I'll take Miss Adams?
Between St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It is. Can I make up its mind? All right, let's have the 4. Mr. Gunther is dreaming of the dear dead day.
I'm trying to think it might be from Vienna, but I don't think it is.
Oh, no, that's
Mr. Levant.
It's not Viennese, but I would say it was a very far away from Vienna.
How far?
The Pacific coast, maybe.
Well, name the song and the exact
word. Well, it ain't Hawaiian, you can tell that.
No, that's not good enough.
Not a song about Guam.
You expect to get it this way, Mr. Levant? You can't go on all evening. On the, Mr. Kieran.
I want to go back to Oregon.
Oregon. Aragawan, I'm going to go back to Oregon. Yes, very good. Number 5. Mr. Levant.
A long cow ham.
Yes, what locality?
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande. Thank you for that funny accent, Mr. Levant. Very good. Let's have number 6. All right, Mr. Levant.
That's by George Gershwin, his first big hit. It's called Swanee.
Yes, what locality?
Florida. I read the Yearling last
or
year.
Or Georgia, too. Or Georgia, too. All right. Very good. I don't seem to be able to break these boys down this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what I can do with the next one. I'm going to ask you to identify these people. Rather, Mr. T. Hess of Philadelphia asks you to. The first is Abdulaziz Ibn Abdurrahman Al-Asud. He's also called Ibn Fawud by his cronies, I guess. Mr. Gunther?
He's the king of Saudi Arabia.
I beg your pardon?
He's the king of Saudi Arabia.
Saudi?
Yeah.
How do you spell Saudi?
S-A-U-D-I.
I thought you were being familiar with Southern. King of Saudi. Very good. All right. What you can do, let's see what you can do with the next one. Ragab Nashashibi.
Head of the anti-Mufti Arabs in Jerusalem.
Oh, Mufti. I don't know what Mufti is.
Well, there's
what you've got on.
No white ties, Mufti.
You mean this tie?
It's the Palestine Defense Party is its technical name, but it's the party that's risen in opposition to the man known as the Grand Mufti, whose name is Haj Amin el-Husseini, who has led the... disorders against the British and against the Jews.
Thank you. Thank you for that extra name, which I haven't down here at all.
Boy, you've had a mouthful.
Oh, I answered that once before. On information, please.
Thank you, Mr. Gunther. Let's see what you can do with this one. Now, who is Thakur Saheb Sri Dharmendrasinghji? Sounds more like a life
who
sentence
is?
Than a name.
Who are?
Mr. Gunther again.
Well, he's an Indian Maharaja because he has the word Sri in his name, S-R-I, and I suspect he's the Maharaja against whom Mr. Gandhi fasted.
Yes.
Rajput.
Against whom Mr. Gandhi fasted for how many days?
4.
Who won?
Mr. Gandhi on orange juice.
Mr. Gandhi on orange. Thank you very much, Mr. Gunther.
Know what the score was, don't you?
Now, what was the score?
Gandhi won. 8-0.
Oh, boy. You can retire for the evening, Mr. Kieran. Mr. Adams,
I thought it was a jockey. It sounded like a jockey.
That's not like a
Gandhi on orange juice.
Oh, Mr. Adams. Oh, I got 2 more of these. Ananda. Oh, I'm going down beneath these names. Ananda Maidol. Sounds as if it was good for the headache. Ananda Maidol, Mr. Gunther.
That's the name of the king of Siam.
How old is he?
12.
13.
Oh, what does it matter?
They're always 13 in Siam, Mr. Gunther. All right. Akito Sugo Malniva. I don't think I've got the...
Say that again.
I beg your pardon. I didn't even say it well once.
Say it again.
Akito.
Stop. Come on, say it again. I like to hear him talk.
You like that, Mr. Adams? I'll do it with an accent I just picked up. Akito Tsugo Mo Miva. Akito Tsugo.
Tell the last part of that, will you?
The last part. That's the part that comes at the end. Yeah.
Yes, all right. Akito, you can never tell whether in an Oriental name the last part
M-O,
is the first part
M-O
of the
is
end.
A very common name on Broadway. M-O, Mo. That's his third name. Miva, M-I-V-A. Sorry. Sorry.
It sounds like a Japanese or a Manchurian name, but I can't...
Not enough for me. Not enough for me. He's the 5-year-old crown prince of Japan.
Oh, I said it was a Japanese name.
Not enough for me. I know it's a Japanese name myself, because I pronounce it with a Japanese accent. We got 4 out of 5 on that, and that's going to cost us $10.
I hate to argue with you, because, after all, we had that unfortunate Wu Pei Fu experience. But
yes, you were right.
The crown prince of Japan has another name, which I will produce tomorrow.
All right. You let me know about it. But in the meantime, I'm going to stick to my 5-year-old crown prince of Japan, Akito Tsugo Momiva, because I'm crazy about it. That's all right.
All
right.
Next stick to you.
This comes from Patricia Collins, gentlemen, now playing in The Little Foxes on Broadway. Patricia Collins of New York City. What queens of fact or fiction are supposed to have said or written the following? Let them eat cake.
Marie Antoinette.
All right, Mr. Gunther, thank you. We are not amused. Mr. Levant.
Queen Victoria.
Yes. Off with their heads. Mr. Akira.
The Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland.
I'm sorry.
What?
It's the Queen of Hearts in Alice in Wonderland. Queen of Hearts. One wrong. You must wake and call me early. Call me early, Mother Dear. Mr. Adams.
Queen of the May.
Yes. What poem?
The May Queen.
Yes. May Queen by whom?
Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Okay. You knew it all along. And fifth and last, I love you, Joe. What queen said that?
Joe who?
I won't give you the last name. Mr. Adams?
When we were a couple of kids.
I want to know what queen said it. And I have to get that out.
Queen in Calico.
Yes, she was my queen in Calico. All right. Let's see, we got one wrong on that. That's going to cost Canada Dry $10. And that means that we have lost entirely $20. In a moment, I'll have news of next week's guests. But now we listen to a word from Mr. Cross.
Are you planning to entertain this week? If you are, you'll find that you and your guests will have a lot of fun playing the Information Please game. There is now a second edition of the Information Please game, a game that contains 4 times as many questions and answers as we use during one of these Information Please programs. Here are the easy directions for getting your copy of the new Information Please game. Send the bottle caps, or if you prefer, the large labels, from 2 bottles of any of Canada Dry's many beverages. Mail these 2 bottle caps or 2 large labels in an envelope with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. If you live in Canada, the address is Canada Dry, Toronto, Ontario. Remember to include your own name and address so that your Information Please game may be mailed to you at once. Don't forget, you can send either 2 large Canada Dry labels or 2 bottle caps along with your 10 cents.
Thanks, Mr. Cross. And may I thank you, Mr. Gunther, for coming down this evening and telling us what you know. Next week, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will be on hand, and our guest of honor will be first Rex Stout, the famous detective story writer who did so brilliantly on this program a few weeks ago, and second, Moss Hart, co-author of The American Way and responsible for 12 other hits of stage and screen. Don't forget, letters with questions are to be addressed to Information Please, Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City.
You'll find Canada Dry ginger ale, sparkling water, lime Ricky, and Tom Collins mixer wherever fine beverages are sold.